Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information to expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers.
Welcome to the Art of Network Engineering podcast. My name is Aaron Weiler. You may know me as at Aaron Engineered on all your social media platforms, AaronEngineered.com. You can find me just about anywhere. With me, I have Dan Richards in beautiful Tennessee, America. How you doing, Dan?
Howdy.
Howdy. Good? Classic howdy from Dan. He's still trying to figure out how to work the internet, so someday in the future we'll get his hashtag at howdy subnet. Packet. What is it now? Howdy packet?
Yeah, howdy packet. Right. That won the poll, so...
Oh my God. Okay. Anyway. Also, we have Andy, which you can always distinguish by his wonderful Philadelphia accent.
Heyo.
He's trying to throw you off.
Oh man. And you can find him permit IP Andy. He's working on spinning up a website too. But you can find him on the Twitters. You can find us all in the Discords. We are super stoked because today we have a guest with us, and her name is Deira Footman, and she is very active in the community that we are all a part of. So if you're listening to this and you don't know who she is, you might consider yourself crazy. You might know her more formally as CCIE by 30. And normally I wouldn't ask a female how old she is, but we can pretty much assume that she's under 30 and is working on her CCIE at this point. She's all over the place. Deira, you have like 10 different websites. Like, you have your name, like you have Deira J Footman, right? .com.
Yep.
What else do you have? How else can we find you?
On Instagram. Deira J Footman, CCIE by 30.
So both of those.
And then Twitter, just CCIE by 30. CCIE. I tried to separate my Twitter, but no.
Didn't go so well? It's hard. Like, you know, to pick and choose what you want to put where, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's frustrating. So how the heck did you get into all this, right? Because I think one of the coolest things I saw on your website was, and it was actually on... your Deira J Footman website. It was someone taught me and now it's my job to teach someone else. Did you hear that somewhere or is that just kind of like your life philosophy?
So it comes from a Toni Morrison quote.
Okay.
That is up on my CCIE by 30 website on my about page. But basically the synopsis of it is, you know, if you are free and empowered, it is now your job to free and empower others. So I kind of took that and turned it, put the spin on it as far as teaching. You know, I had a lot of people who I could ask questions and things that some people might consider stupid questions. And they're like, you know, there are no stupid questions. If you don't know, you don't know. Be upfront about it, own it, and that's how you learn.
So. Yeah. So now you're just kind of paying it forward, I guess is the best way to put that.
Yep.
So that leads me to my next question. Gosh, it's almost like I'm inside my own head, following my own path here. So where did you start? And then we'll kind of like work toward where you are now, right? So first of all, I would love to know what sparked your interest in getting into networking specifically?
Sure. So in high school, I went to a high school that offered vocational class or trades. I went in as a graphic designer. That was my plan.
Oh, rad.
I've always loved technology. I always knew I wanted to do something with computers, so I went in under graphic design. Ended an informational session my freshman year, and the students from the Cisco Networking Academy were presenting, and I was like, whoa, you mean there are people that make the internet work? I want to do that.
Nice.
So I changed over to Cisco. It was a 3-year program the first year.
In high school?
Focused totally. Yep.
Wow. Okay. So hold on. So sophomore year. Got it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So freshman year is all just your regular, you know, academic courses. And then in sophomore year, you get to take your vocation or trade class. So the first year, which was my sophomore year, was all dedicated to, you know, learning how PCs work. So pretty much like A-plus curriculum. And then in my junior and senior year, it focused on networking. And then the second half of my senior year, we had the opportunity to do internships with local companies. And my internship was with our school system headquarters in their network engineering department. It was about 4 hours a day towards the end of the day. And I worked there for the remainder of that semester. And then I was invited back to do like a summer internship type deal. And then I was brought on as an employee.
Wow. Real quick question before we get to what happens right after that. Are you still there?
I am not.
Okay. No. Okay. Cool. So this is interesting. Me personally, maybe it's just because I'm like, we made the joke. So if you haven't heard, Dira and I were both on this Cisco Champions radio podcast together about, I don't know, how long ago was that? A couple weeks ago? And we were chatting, just kind of going through stories and stuff, and I think it was interesting because you've got this, like, now that I know that you're so early, we were talking about CCIE by 30, and I was like, wow, that's funny, because I could be CCIE by 40, technically, and then I guess that would make Andy CCIE by 50.
Easy.
He can't stop time, brother. But it's impressive, first of all, but that always begs the question, kind of like how we did with Taylor a couple of episodes ago, where it was like, you know, that's an awful young start. Like, I don't know too many high schools. And again, maybe it's just because I'm like a little bit ahead of that. And, you know, maybe Andy can echo that as well. Like, I'm a little bit ahead of that. So, like, there was nothing in high school that had anything to do with, like, technology whatsoever. Like, I mean, it was the 90s, but I think that's freaking huge, man. And the fact that you like parlayed that into a job is a little atypical too, because like usually like the next move is to go to college. So did you do that as well?
I took a year off and then I started school part-time. And I went in under computer science because that's what I thought I needed to do. Turns out that has absolutely nothing to do with networking.
You know, Andy found that lesson also very, very difficult.
Where does that idea come from? You know what I mean? I thought the same thing. Like,
yeah, like who the heck's telling everybody that?
Where are we getting that bad information?
is it counselors?
I think it's
like,
because you hear computer and you think technology.
Yeah. Right.
That could be it.
So how old are you though?
Dan?
I'm just going to be up front.
Yo, bro, didn't your mom teach you any manners? You don't ask a lady her age.
Dare, he's from the South. You have to forget.
He comes from a good place.
Yeah.
I mean,
28.
Well,
she's 28.
Okay. So, see, I'm 30, and I graduated in 08. So, you're graduating what? 2010?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
What part of the country was this school at, though?
It's in Baltimore.
Baltimore. Okay.
Baltimore City.
Because, like, when I was in high school, we didn't have that either.
Yeah,
so I'm on the same page with Aaron and Andy.
And maybe it's not necessarily a localized thing, but, like, you know, because I was in, like, Illinois or something at the time, I think. And I guess it's probably up to the school district. Did they have other cool stuff? Because you mentioned the vocational stuff. Did they have other options for you? Because you picked technology, but, like, what other options were there? Car mechanics.
Yeah,
and stuff?
During that time there was carpentry, childcare, cosmetology, culinary art, AutoCAD, graphic design, and then Cisco.
They had a pretty wide variety.
Yeah. And a few other schools. So it really depends on which school you're attending. Some of the other schools have like mechanics. There's a school that's offering plumbing. So.
Okay.
A little bit of everything.
So you had options, and you were like, all right, I heard these Cisco guys talking about how they can make the internet work. This is cool. I want to do that too. Where did you get the goal then? We'll get back to like your timeline here in a second, but where did you get the goal then to have the CCIE by 30? Was it then?
No. So actually, I had been working for about a year and a half, and I was starting to get into the certifications and looking at the certification paths. And I read that the CCIE, I saw the little pyramid, you know, with the CCNA at the bottom and with the CCIE at the top. Mm-hmm. And I read about it and the distinguished weight it holds. So I'm like, oh, I could do that in 10 years.
So
I kind of set it as like a personal goal for myself. It's my Mount Everest.
I can tell you right now that I think it's gone beyond. I speak for everybody when I say this, by the way. It's gone beyond a personal goal at this point. It's because you put it out there in the universe. I mean, your Twitter handle is like, you know, put your money where your mouth is, right? Like that's got to be kind of like a heavy weight on your shoulders, right? Like, have you thought about like, okay, what happens if I don't do that by 30?
I have. So,
okay.
The more realistic thing now, especially as I've been, you know, getting more into data center work and specifically ACI, I took a lot of time to, you know, start digging into that and looking into that. I'd at least like to have my first attempt done by then. And then go, you know, reevaluate and then take it. As somebody on Twitter pointed out, you know, even at 30, you still have a whole year where you could technically make the goal. So,
okay, see, that's
technicalities.
That's smart. Like, you're the day before your 31st birthday.
Yeah.
Like,
just I knock it out of the park.
Right. Like, happy birthday to you. Welcome to your 30s type of thing.
That's better than what I was thinking. I thought, worst case scenario, DR, you could just say, you know, CCIE by 2030.
Oh, dude, yeah, holy crap. You could just drop a 20 in front of that, and it's just, it turns into a year instead of your age.
I mean, you have a way out if you need it, that's all.
Wow, dude, Andy, oh my God.
You're welcome.
Okay, there's your fallback plan, Dara, if you wanted one. But that's a cop-out. We don't want that. We want you.
I get so many cautionary DMs, like, you're putting so much pressure on yourself. And I'm like, okay, let's just take a deep breath here.
Yeah, why would somebody do that, though?
What's the worst that happens? Your CCIE be 32 or 33. You know, I mean, it's still amazing. Right. I didn't even get into tech until my 30s, and I'm just blown away that you were a network engineer when you graduated high school, right, with a paying job.
Yeah,
like that's just, oh my God.
If you do the time,
I'm gonna go cry in the corner for a little bit. I'll be right back.
Andy, if you do the timeline, if you got your first tech job in your 30s and Deira got one out of high school, you guys started at the same time.
You're right behind me, buddy.
Yeah, well, you know, we're not talking about me, we're talking about you.
We were both in high school in the 90s.
Yeah, we were. So all right, so you got the job. You at this point, okay, so you graduate high school, they offered you a job because of the vocational experience that you had. Did you have, after you completed the vocational stuff, did you have a CCNA at that point?
I did not at the time, due to some technicalities with the program. Mm-hmm. So I ended up having to get my CCNA on my own.
Okay.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I was more so after having a job that, you know, wasn't retail or fast food or anything. Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to point out I was not making any money.
What do you mean? Give us there. You don't work there anymore. So just give everybody an example.
I started as an intern, and this was up until I was brought on as, so the city has what they call temp employees, which is essentially a contractor, but you are under the payroll of the city. I started as an intern at minimum wage, $7.25. When I was brought on under that contract position, it was about 11 or 12 bucks.
Wow.
An hour. And then there was a restructure, and everybody who was a temp employee which is the terminology they use, was then moved to various contracting agencies. So then from there, I started making like $15 an hour.
That was the big time.
Yeah, I thought I was balling.
I bet. You damn near doubled your salary. Are you joking me? You were balling.
So when you first started at this, at the, did you say it was the state that you were working for?
The city school system. The city school system headquarters.
Gotcha. So when you started there, like, what were you doing?
So pretty much I was on the network engineering team, but I was more of like a tech, which pretty much meant I did all the grunt work that the engineers didn't want to do.
I got you. Pulling cables, installing equipment, that kind of stuff.
Yep. Doing tickets, dealing with users, all the research work, all fell on me.
Wow.
Nice.
It's a great way to learn.
Heck yeah. Trial by fire, I guess you could say. Especially when they're only paying you $7 an hour. So that, actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, okay, so you graduate in 2010. Minimum wage is $7.25 or something. I actually have no idea. Because when I, minimum wage for me was like $4.25. All right. Andy. but
Andy was like, you could get a Coke for a nickel.
Dude is, you can just feel how old Andy is. You don't have to look at him. So because you mentioned like it was better than working in retail or fast food or whatever, but I gotta imagine that like retail was at the time probably willing to pay you more than $7.25 an hour, right?
Definitely.
So then why?
The way I looked at it was I could, you know, go to college and do retail, or I could use this time to gain some experience. You know, the money at the time was pretty much just, you know, mine to like spend and not be responsible with because I was straight out of high school.
Still at home.
So I was more so like, you know, I can sit here. I speak of it now like that time at Baltimore City Schools was like my college, because I got to learn so many different things. I was super underpaid, but the experience to me outweighed the time I spent there. But then it did eventually get to a point where I'm like, okay, I need more money.
I love that. But it's interesting, college, right? So you pay to go to college and you get a degree or whatever. Little bit of experience, I guess, technically, because you were doing stuff. But what you did instead was actually let my college be someone paying me. It could have been $1 an hour. Actually, it could have been free. You could have been volunteering there, and in theory, your ROI would have been still much higher than if you would have paid $30K for a CS degree.
Right.
We obviously think you did all the right things. That's why we had you on here. But so we don't want to gas you up too much. But I think that was a smart idea. I like what you said, because we always do these A and B comparisons when we talk to people, and you see it all the time, I'm sure. Like people on Twitter, especially, you know, like, hey, you know, what should I do first, right? What is your advice to people that say, like, should I go to college? Should I get a job? Should I get certified? What do you say to those people? Because I know they're asking you.
I say if you can, do all three. At the time, I was in school part-time, again, computer science.
Yeah.
I'll explain how I pivoted from that in a second. But I was doing that part-time. And what led me to make this decision was, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm out of high school. I technically have 3 years of experience, be it lab experience. Let me see, you know, what's out here job-wise. And I was looking at these job requirements and I'm like, you know, I don't have enough experience for this yet. So do I take this time off, go get the degree? I had already, you know, being an intern, been able to talk to some people who've been in the industry for a little while. And the common theme was, you know, if you can figure out how to stay here or stay, you know, doing networking while you're going to school, do it. Because, you know, I was in school for 4 years and then it took me, you know, another year to get some certs. And then I finally got a job that was, you know, what I thought I should have been making or what I thought I should have been doing out of college, you know, just taking that advice and then doing my own research. And I'm seeing all these jobs and I'm like, I don't have enough experience to really, you know, make the money I would have wanted to have been making. So I'm like, well, you know, here's this job. The organization was, you know, be it a school system, budgets are tight, of course.
Right.
So there wasn't a lot of, you know, hiring out for new engineers or bringing in contractors unless it was something like super specific. So it was, I'm like, okay, you know, I can work here. I can learn, pivot around a little bit, see what I like and stack my skills. So that's kind of how I looked at it.
So this is one thing that we have yet to mention, and it's maybe all of our faults. I say all of us, but like, you know, me, Dan, and Andy, and
it's
AJ.
Your fault, Aaron.
It's my fault. I'll take the heat. But we always do that, right? I even asked you the same question. I was like, hey, what do you do when people say, do I get either or? And we always say, hey, it doesn't matter. But whatever you do, because you have basically three choices. So whatever you do, just do it well and work your butt off. I have yet to even think about what you just said, which is, why don't you just do all three and get off your ass? Like, I'm stealing that. You didn't say the your ass part, but I added that color commentary to it because I felt it. Gave a little bit of
oomph. Did you have guidance or a mentor? Because when I was 18, you know, when I graduated high school, I was drinking beer, playing beach volleyball at the shore. Like, that was my life aspiration at 18.
Pictures or didn't happen, Andy. That's all I gotta say.
So, how? I mean, you just seem wise beyond your years. I mean, maybe I was just a goofball, but I don't know any 18-year-olds that know up from down, and you just really seem to have a clear picture of, you know you needed experience, you know that you weren't going to get paid up front, but it would pay off in the long run. I mean, these are like wise choices that I'm just blown away by. Did you have any guidance, or you're just kind of wise beyond your years?
I asked a lot of questions. So, of course, in high school, all of our counselors were like, no, you just need to go straight to college.
Yep.
Go to college. And I'm like, I knew I wanted a degree.
I listened to those idiots.
I knew I wanted a degree, but I did not want to like spend more time in school. I'm like, well, I'm going to get a degree at some point, but do I really want to get out of school and then go right back into school? Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew, you know, one of the selling points of doing the vocational classes is, you know, oh, you'll be able to get a job straight out of high school. So I definitely signed up for the internship because I'm like, you know, this will be a good chance for me to kind of test the waters and see if I really like it. And while on that internship, I just asked all of the people who would talk to me questions like, how did you get into tech? What was your pathway? How did you feel college paid off for you? And I got so many different perspectives. I got the perspectives of engineers who were like, I didn't go to college at all, but I'm letting you know, you don't go to college. You need to have these certs, and you best believe somebody with a degree, even though you have the certs, will probably make more money than you until you get to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. And then I talked to the people who had a degree, and they're like, yeah, I did a computer science degree, but it really didn't help me because I'm not doing programming or anything. But, you know, I did get a job. But what I found was I struggled because I didn't have the certs. So I'm like, okay, this makes sense. So I asked anybody who would talk to me a ton of questions about their experience and what they would recommend, what they would do differently if they were starting over.
And,
you know, combine that with my own research, and was like, all right, I got a plan, let's wing it and see.
All right, every like 60 seconds you hit me with like this like epiphany, and you just did it again. So this is crazy. So instead of saying, okay, how did you get here? Because I see because right now you are a senior network engineer. And so at that time, you were asking senior network engineers, hey, how did you get here? You know, instead of saying, how did you get here? All you did was flip the question around just a little bit. And you said, if you could do it any differently, what would you do? I can guarantee you that the answers you got probably helped you more than we can even like quantify at this point. Because like, I'm sure if we all looked back, Andy, especially, I think he just said it, he probably wouldn't have been playing beach volleyball and drinking beers, right? I probably wouldn't have wasted my life either playing video games and, you know, being in crappy bands. But the forward thinking, even to ask a question like that backwards, is crazy to me. And I'm stealing that, so thank you for that. Also, you might want to quote that and put it on one of your websites, because don't worry, I'll quote you. I'll put your name on it. So you're asking a bunch of questions. You're at the school system, right? You're working for the city. So you really you hadn't ventured too far at this point, right? You were just kind of like going through this path, like that was almost like, you know, paved a little bit, right? Because they got you a job out of high school. How long did you last at that first job?
So I was there a total of 5 years.
Wow.
I'll tell you when it got real. I was about 2 years in. We had a meeting. Our manager came in and he's like, they're reviewing everyone's qualifications. I understand the value of technical certs. I'm going to bat for everyone who has technical certs. If you don't have a cert, you need to get one. And you have about 6 to 8 months to get it done. And I'm like, oh, crap, I don't have my CCNA. Because even though I was forward thinking and you know, making these plans, I did kind of procrastinate a little bit on the CCNA because I'm like, this is an 800-page book, two 800-page books at the time. Do I really want to read this? And not really.
No. I don't think a single person on this planet has gotten a delivery from Cisco Press and been super freaking excited about getting to page 376, which puts you halfway through the book. Like, that's...
Right.
It's like going to the dentist. Yeah, I know it's good for you, but it's not going to be fun.
It's not going to be fun. So what did they say, though? Because it sounds like what, quote-unquote, coming to Jesus moment. So they had a meeting, and they told you you have 6 to 8 months to get a cert. Were they, like, going to fire people that didn't? Or since they were laying so many people off, if you had a cert, that person was going to go to bat for you and try to save you?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
Okay, the latter.
And also, along with that, I was pregnant with my son, and I'm like, okay, it's no longer just me. I am going to have to, and babies are super expensive. I was shocked by how expensive they were. I'm like, all right, I need more money now. I need to actually, like, this was fun money, saved a little bit of it, didn't, you know, I'm paying a few bills here and there, but for the most part, the money was just mine to spend. So now I'm like, all right, I gotta get, you know, more money, get more financially sound, and go. At the time, I was working... I would do 3 8-hour days at the office and then 2 4-hour days. And the other 4 hours I was going to community college. So I'm kind of sitting down and I'm like, all right, I gotta wrap these classes up. I gotta get this cert. I talked to my manager. I'm like, hey, you know, I want to make more money. They're like, okay, well, you need to be here more. I'm like, cool. And they're like, you need to at least get your CSINT so I can justify bringing you in for the additional 8 hours. Because there's a cost to that. And I'm like, all right, cool. Got it. I got my orders. I know what I need to do. I get the books. We had CBT Nuggets at the time.
Sweet.
So I'm reading the book. Some of the stuff I'm recognizing, you know, from working and doing, you know, port configurations here and there. Some of the stuff I'm sitting there like, I have no idea what any of this means. So I read the book cover to cover. I went through the CBT Nuggets, took 1,001 practice tests. I get to take the first test. I fail.
How bad?
All right. I don't even remember. I think that one was pretty bad because I'm like, there was some stuff I was still missing on the practice test.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know what? Let me just go in and get a feel for the exam at least. Right. So then I have a little bit of a better idea of where I need to go.
That's a good strategy.
So the areas of weakness were subnetting, which I was terrible at the time. And routing and WAN technologies. And those two were pretty much things that I didn't touch at all. So I'm like, okay, well, I have something I need to spend time on. So I take the next month and I'm hammering away at it. I'm rewatching all the videos. I'm rereading the chapters. I'm looking up, you know, different other videos. This is how I discovered Chris Bryant and how I finally understood subnetting. So thanks, Chris Bryant.
Yeah, dude. First of all, stop for 1 second because shout out to Chris Bryant because I'm a fan. Some people are not. They think he's a little too dry. Oh, dude, I love Chris Bryant. I think he's the best, hands down. I love energy from guys like Jeremy and, you know, things like that. But Chris just has a way, man. Like, and he'll put little jokes in there, and you just got to be on your toes because he'll say something, and it'll get you. Like, if you're really paying attention, you'll be like, wow. The one thing he always says, he's like, you know, he's explaining something, and he'll be like, well, the name is the recipe with this one. I love that. Anyway, go ahead.
Is that the bulldog?
Yeah, the bulldog. Yeah.
I like that he goes deep.
Yeah.
You know, same. Mm-hmm. He's in the devices a lot, and he goes deep, and you're going to learn it. Yeah.
Same.
And he translates it to plain English.
Right.
Which was something. At the time, I wasn't aware that Cisco has their own language of how they explain things.
Yeah. On the tests, too, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't click, and then I'll hear somebody else explain, and it's like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Why did we need these extra 30 words? But okay. So I'm hammering away at it, and I get to the second test, and I fail. By 5 points.
Oh.
And I'm like,
man, that sucks.
So at this point, I've paid $300 out of my own pocket because they did not cover it. I am about I failed it in March. So the deadline that was coming was in July. That's when the fiscal year starts. So I'm like, oh my God, like I have to get both parts of this test and I'm failing this one. And so I had like a mini meltdown, honestly.
Yeah. So wait, hold on. Are you still pregnant at this point?
Nope.
Okay. You had your kid.
I have a, yep.
No, I didn't mean, are you pregnant now? I meant like during the story, were you pregnant?
No, I had him.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I was like, I don't know how you would still be pregnant.
So I'm like, okay, you know, I had my moment. I took the rest of the week off. I didn't look at anything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let me just, you know, chill, take my mind off it for a little while, start back on Sunday. So on Sunday, I break out my score report. I'm looking at what I got wrong. It's still routing. Subnetting was better, but not where I think subnetting was a part of it. And then at the time, frame relay was on the exam. Yeah.
Oh, I remember that one. We talked about this like in a couple of episodes ago, like how awful that crap was. Because, I think you and I, dear, I think we took the same test because I took the ICND-1 and then the ICND-2, and there's frame relay on there. And I actually mentioned this, that like I remember the topology to one of these frame relay questions to this day. Like it was a bunch of Olympic cities as the names of the cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it was like, find this, find that. And I was like,
And then at the time you had to type in the commands.
Yeah.
For like the semlets. Yeah. Yeah. That was awful.
Awful.
So I started going over WAN technologies again and making tons of notes and note cards and looking over the commands just religiously, just running them through. I get to my third time, I pass it. I'm nice. Super over the moon. I take it. My boss is like, great, let's get you in here. So then I go up to working 40 hours a week. Start working on my CCNA. I didn't get my CCNA until, I think, August or September of that year. Luckily, my CCENT was enough. It was a cert. They just really wanted you to have a cert, so it was a cert. I did pass my CCNA on the first time, and the way I approached it was completely different from what I did with the CCENT. And this is pretty much how I still approach Cisco exams. I made copies of, at the time they used to come with those DVDs that had like the appendices in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would print off the Do I Know This Already appendix.
Oh, yeah.
Every chapter, I would read the chapter. I would do the Do I Know This test, document what I got wrong, read the chapter, specifically focusing on the topics that were covered in those questions. Do I know this exam again, see where I was, make a note of where I was still weak at. So I did that all the way through the whole book. Once I finished the book, I would review my notes, go back over to Do I Know This questions again, and then look for additional resources to help me with what I was still weak on.
So
I also realized...
have you ever like researched like how humans learn? Because I've done like a lot of that stuff, and the reason why I'm asking is because excuse me, what you just described is the best way for a human being to learn. So what you said about printing off the Do I Know This Already tests without even reading the chapter, trying to answer the questions, writing down what you got wrong, and then researching it yourself. I could go on and on and on about how many different little pieces of that were helping you solidify the content more than someone just reading it and then, you know, doing some chicken scratch and then going back and reading your notes over and over again, right? So I have you ever, like, looked into, like, efficiencies like that?
At that time, no.
But you just did it.
Yeah, all I knew was the way I approached the first time didn't
was wrong.
Work, and it cost me money.
Dude.
It was all over the place.
It sounds to me like money seems to be your biggest life lesson. I don't even know how to put that, but it seems to be the thing that's been teaching you the most.
Possibly, like I've never even thought about that.
Like, I need more money.
All
like,
I knew was...
You had the kid, right?
You can't afford to pay.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, when they're going to take your job from you, get a cert or buy. I mean, that's just, you know, that'll motivate anybody.
For sure. Yeah, that's. I just thought it was cool that you pointed that out, because I've been wanting to, like, talk about that a lot more frequently, actually. Maybe we'll get you on again and we'll discuss that, because you're dead on with your what I would call, like, the perfect approach to getting the exams. And sometimes you only learn that by failing, especially $300 worth. So, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, by the way. I'm just really good at cutting people off. And
yes,
it's an engineering trait. Yeah.
My mom always said, do what you're good at. Nah, you know, so you fail. I think that's where we're at right at. So you failed by 5 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you researched, you printed off all the stuff. You figured out that, hey, I'm still kind of lacking some efficiencies in WAN or routing, and let me just go hard at that. Was that the next step?
Oh, no. For the CSINT, after I failed by 5 points, and I think I spoke too fast. So after I failed by 5 points, I took a break for the rest of that week, and then I came back to it on Sunday, looked at the areas that I was weaker in, got on Packet Tracer, got the book, started, you know, labbing it out, which was something I hadn't been doing all along, which I probably should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, making notes on the commands, running through the commands, you know, how to set up, I think, what was it, Delsys?
Yep.
Was the biggest thing. Yep.
Interface Delsys. Yeah.
How to check it, making sure I understood the full amount, the full command. Because what I had gotten into the habit of doing is, you know, you're on a Cisco switcher router and you just tab and it's there. Or you hit question mark and it's there. So I had to train myself to know you need to type out the full command. So even at work, I was typing out the full command, because on the test, they didn't let you tab or do question mark or anything. So I went back in, I think it was April, when I passed the CSINT. I passed that. Management was like, great, you're good. You got a cert. Awesome, you're safe, go sit down. I'm like, okay, cool. I took a month off. And they're like, no, but still get your CCNA, but you're okay for now.
Oh, yeah, good job. But you're not done.
You're not done yet.
Pat you on the back a little bit.
So when I started taking the ICND2, that's when I started, you know, I printed off the Do I Know This Already quiz. I got a little bit more organized with my notes. Took the quiz before I read the chapter, took the quiz after I read the chapter, made the note of where I was weak at. Once I finished the book, looked at all the areas I was weak at. Once I finished the book, I took a practice exam. And pretty much the results of the practice exam lined up with where I was weak at. Organized where I was weak at by, you know, what do I have? What am I not touching at work? Which was routing. And then the stuff I'm touching at work was just more of a, you know, let me make sure I really understand these commands and just practice them through. So then I labbed. I looked at additional videos, Chris Bryant, some other random people on Udemy that I don't remember for, like, routing. And then I passed my ICND2 on the first try. So
nice. How'd that
what
feel?
I did on the first time was, it was great. Like, yes.
I did it.
Awesome.
Hell yeah. I love that.
Yeah, the first time I just kind of got the book, read through it, made some little chicken scratch notes, looked at some CBT nuggets, looked at some Chris Bryant videos, made some notes.
Like, I got
added
this.
To the notes.
Yeah, it's
did
like
a practice test.
You fall into this thing, and, like, I did the same thing. It's like, you know, every test that you've ever taken, like, throughout your life, whether it be high school or elementary school or college or whatever, they really aren't hard, right? Like,
looking back,
right? Because now I did the exact same thing. I almost have the exact same story you did with both ICNDs. And I did the same thing. I was like, gosh, dang, that was harder than I thought. And I'm only the opposite. The thing I was the best at was subnetting. And I'm like, keep giving me subnetting questions. And sure enough, they knew that right away. They were like, that's the last one you're getting of those. Here's some IPv6, brother. Sucker. So
Got you.
So now you got the CCNA. Then what happens?
So I get my CCNA, and I go back to work, and everyone's celebrating. And I become the go-to person for passing the CCNA. Everyone's asking me for tips.
What?
Like, yeah.
Wow.
For my other co-workers, they're like, so, yeah, what did you do to, because I'm not getting this. And I'm actually doing this.
Wow.
So I'm, you know, helping people with what I learned. You know, here's what works for me. Pay attention to how Cisco words things. That definitely tripped me up a few times. And make sure you know the command in its entirety, because you can't tab and you can't question mark.
Pro tip.
So
then things
this...
are dying down. Oh. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Oh, so then things were dying down. Everyone got their certs. We kind of go back into our lull of work. I'm doing a little bit more. Oh, and also to mention, the entire time, we're all studying for Cisco exams. We're not working on Cisco equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
That's great. What kind of equipment
speaking
was it?
Two different languages. It was Extreme.
Ooh, okay. School budget.
Extreme Networks. Yeah.
School budget.
So
now you're the champion over there. They're like, oh my gosh, how did you do it? When you guys all sat in the same room together at one point and they scared the hell out of you. And
yeah,
it sounds like you were the, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here. Were you the only one that did it?
No, there were a couple of other people who passed.
Okay.
Some people decided, you know, do I have to do a CCNA or can I get a cert in what I'm actually doing? So we had some people who were primarily focused on wireless. So they did wireless. Some people who were doing, phone systems got phone certs.
Got it.
Or just, you know, renewed certs they already had. So
you were the...
I think there were four of us who went for the CCNA. And then out of the team of eight or nine people, mm-hmm. everyone else went for certs more specific to what they were doing or what they wanted to do.
Nice. So they, and all the people that wanted the CCNA that didn't get it, they were looking at you like, okay, how the heck did you do this?
Yeah, for study tips. So...
Were you still at the school district at the time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was there until 2015.
All right.
This was in the beginning of 2013.
Still at the school because you were there for 5 years, mm-hmm. got a CCNA out of it. How much longer did you stay there after you got the CCNA?
About 2 more years.
Okay. So yeah, you did your due diligence there, right? I feel like.
Put in your time.
It's respectable. Yeah. It's not like you're not like Dan over here who doesn't even know how to apply for jobs.
Monster Inc. or Monster.com or something.
Monster Inc. Oh my gosh.
That was a movie, Dan.
Something like that. I hope you guys know I'm joking.
Dan's applying for jobs on a movie.
Yeah, it was a Pixar movie, dude. What's
That's
wrong with
the problem? That's Pixar's not hiring network guys.
Yeah. God bless it.
So Imagineers.
I tell you. Yeah. Imagineers,
Yeah.
Why'd you leave the school district?
More money.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. I bet I know.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you got your CCNA, you looked around, right?
So... After I got my CCNA was when the real fun started, because then I got to be included in the project work. I was no longer just doing operational stuff. So the best part about working there was, again, you got to touch all elements of networking. So I did some wireless. I did some data center.
Yeah.
A little bit of security, not much. We had this big all hands project to do network access control. That was mm-hmm. I mean, like the whole team plus some people from other teams in one big conference room, pushing configuration on the phone, helping people troubleshoot. That was a nightmare. I learned a lot from it, but it was a nightmare. Yeah. I know 802.1x inside and out now.
Hey, sometimes there's only one way to learn.
Yeah.
Screwed
worked on some cool data center projects. That's how I got introduced to the Nexus. And then in 2015, they did massive layoffs. And a good portion of our team, very specialized individuals, were let go.
You were left standing? Come to us like, you were still there?
I was still there, yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, they come to us and they're like, hey, we want to redo our call center. We have five. We only want one. Can you make that happen? And we're like, you let that person go?
Yeah.
So that's how I got into UCCX. Literally, it had to be done. We got the news over the Thursday before Memorial Day weekend. My manager's like, well, we got to get it done. So, and we can't bring anybody in. So me and my colleague are like, okay, we'll figure it out. Spent Memorial Day weekend looking at some Crash Course UCCX videos. Came in that Tuesday, looked at what was currently set up. We're like, all right, let's, you know, build some scripts to play with and see what we come up with. And like 2 weeks worth of testing, we presented what we built. They're like, yeah, make it even more streamlined than that. We're like, okay. Condensed it. They approve it. We push it. Monday morning, we're getting calls like, yeah, I don't want our number on the menu anymore.
Oh,
no one should be calling us.
Dude, let me just, you know this. You know this now, right? Like the VoIP world is so awful.
Funny that I still thought I wanted to do it after that.
Really?
I did.
Wow.
So I left the school system. I stepped into the contracting world. I did not like the government contracting world. Didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Great learning experience, though. I worked on Nexus and ICE. That was where I first got to really get into ICE. We demoed it at the school system, but at the time, the cost was astronomical. I still think it is.
Yeah. And you're talking about, so when we say ICE, just so everybody else knows, ICE is the Cisco's identity services engine, I believe is this, right?
Yes.
So yep. Just wanted to make sure that we pointed that out. Sometimes people are like, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah. Worked on the Nexus, did some more just, you know, enterprise networking, deployed some 3850s, got a crash course in those. So it was a cool learning experience. So then I'm like, all right, I don't like this world anymore. I want a new job.
Was came it just across the environment a great opportunity. You were in the culture? You didn't like the kind of the government?
It was just
thing.
The whole contracting process that I wasn't a fan of.
Yeah, it's a big bump in pay, though, right? Going from
it was
did your hourly rate
nice.
Jump pretty? Yeah.
Yeah. It was just too much, too many rules that I wasn't used to and didn't really like and didn't really make sense to me as far as like process.
Man, it just wasn't a good fit for you.
I kind of felt like it. Yeah, it made my job harder. So right. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, I was pretty good at VoIP. So I took a job doing VoIP for a continuing care retirement community or a group of continuing care retirement communities. They're all across the U.S. That was interesting. I know we all joke about, you know, the network going down until you have had a VoIP outage. No. There's network and then there's level 10 VoIP.
Hey, one of the cool things about a VoIP outage is that no one can call you to tell you there's a VoIP outage.
No, they just come to your desk.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, you don't you and you're always not busy enough, right? So they always walk up like, "Hey, you don't look like you're doing anything. Can you?" It's like, "Okay."
So, I also did a video deployment there. So we deployed a bunch of Cisco video units. The big massive MX, which is like the two dual screen thing with the cameras that follow you. Mm. That was super cool. And then the little small desktop ones that just have like the personal camera. So that was a cool project. I enjoyed it.
Is that like a security solution? Like video for just security monitoring? Is that what that is?
No.
No, it's like their conferencing thing. So like you ever been in like a room with like a big conference table and then like instead of two whiteboards they have like two screens and there's like a bunch of cameras pointed at you. It's almost like you're in a newsroom.
Yeah, sorry for not clarifying that. Video conferencing. So that was fun. It was a good learning experience. Got to hone my teaching skills because I was working with a lot of the on-site technicians to deploy this stuff. So training them, getting them to a point where they could train other people at their site and going from there. But then I'm like, you know what? I don't really like VoIP and I really want to get back into networking. So... I started looking for networking jobs, came across, actually a recruiter reached out to me and she's like, you know, we had a existing relationship and I had worked with her in the past. And she's like, hey, so I know you want to get back into networking. I got this job. I don't really have a posting for it yet, but I think you'll be perfect. And it's in the heart of the city. And I'm like, normally I would not even be interested in that because there was no job rec. But I'm like, I trust you. So I'm going to go for it. And she's like, all right, I'll send your resume over. Got a phone screen, passed the phone screen. They're like, hey, come in, interview with the team, interview with the team. Did a second interview with a little bit more people from outside of the networking group. Did a lunch. I think altogether it was like three rounds. I got an offer. They're like, you're exactly what we're looking for. And actually, let me backtrack because there's an important component to what helped me get this position outside of just my experience.
And the person.
So during the time.
Because you said the recruiter you knew. And so she reached out to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't the only person she reached out to. There were other candidates.
Oh my God. She was freaking cheating on you.
Once it got posted, she was definitely, you know, she just gave me a heads up for it. So I got first dibs before it was posted, but I definitely was competing with other people. While I was at Ericsson, so after I passed my CCNA, I didn't really take any more certs. I kind of just learned what I needed to learn for the job. Don't be like me. Please continue to get your certs. So,
hey, can you just say that one more time? Seriously.
Continue to get your certs.
Thank you.
Keep them current. So it's like 2017 now. My CCNA has expired. And I'm like, okay. And at the time, for people who are just learning about Cisco post-certpocalypse, you had to retake your CCNA before you could take anything else.
Yeah.
So.
That sucks.
Yeah. So it was a prereq, right? So.
Yep.
To her point, if you are new to the Cisco world, it used to be that you had to take a CCNA before you got a CCNP. So basically, what you're getting at is, normally in that circumstance, you just would have went to the CCNP, because you know the stuff clearly, because you already passed it, but. At the time, they would have made you go back into the CCNA, retake that, and then take your CCNP.
I'm like, okay, I gotta get my CCNA again. Wasn't too enthused about it. So at the time, one of my coworkers was super active in different like VoIP communities and like on VoIP Twitter, which was apparently a thing. It's all tech Twitter now. So I'm like, oh, cool. So I had a personal Twitter account. So I'm on there, you know, looking at people, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Like, people have blogs, and I'm like, I should start a blog, but what am I going to blog about? Well, I can share my study notes at the very least for content. So I was up one night, and I've always loved writing. I've always been a decent writer. It's definitely been a subject I enjoy. So I'm like, oh, well, why not write about tech? So I'm like, well, at the time I'm looking at retaking the CCNA, and I'm like, this time I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go straight through. I'm going to get my CCIE by the time I'm 30. And that's where the name came from.
Boom. There it is.
And that was in 2017.
The freaking origin story. We finally, we got to it. That's what happened.
Yes. Yeah, that was in 2017. So my plan was to blog my CCNA journey.
And that's what you did? You got your CCNA again and started writing about it?
I got it in 2018. Yep.
Okay. Did you take the composite this time around?
Yep.
The one exam? Yeah. Did you pass the first time?
I did.
You did or you didn't?
I did.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm like, all right, cool. So I got this blog. I'm engaging in the community. I wasn't super active on Twitter because at the time there were more people on Instagram. So I'm like super active on Instagram. I'm getting into Twitter. I'm following everyone. And I think in 2018 was right around the time I discovered Dewan and Lab Every Day. So I started following him and Network Chuck. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like, I'm building a community. Kind of, I hadn't gotten to the point where I was, like, actually asking people, like, sliding into their DMs to ask them questions. But I was just kind of admiring from afar. So I had the blog up and running. So when I get this interview at the job that I'm at now, which ironically enough is in digital media and blogging and newsletters, they're like, yeah, we did a lookup on you on social media and we see you have this blog and you're super active in the tech community and we think that's really cool. And I'm like, oh, thanks. And they're like, and I see you're writing about some of the stuff, you know, we're doing, so it's really cool to see, you know, your kind of understanding of things. And I'm like, oh, great, that's awesome. So that was at my second interview. Boom. I go back to my job after lunch, and at the time I had alerts set up so I could see when people were on my site, because I was just trying to see, you know, get a gauge for how interested people were. And this IP address kept coming up. So I type it in to who is, and it's the place that I just interviewed at. So they had actually sent my blog out for people to review.
Nice.
Dude, that's so rad.
There's a lesson about this in personal branding there.
Yeah.
We talked about this in very, very great detail. And I love that the proof is in the pudding here, folks.
Mm. And one of the things they were really looking for was someone who was a really good communicator. Because, you know, and I think this is a common theme in IT, period. But, you know, you get those people who are great engineers, but not so great at communicating it to other people who aren't engineers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that was a huge need. So that was definitely got me brownie points and got me in the door. So
nice.
Blog your experience, guys, or vlog or podcast. It helps. It's living resume.
Or to our earlier point, get off your ass and do all three.
So what's the coolest thing you're doing in the new job? I'm looking at your profile on LinkedIn. It says Cisco ACI. Have you been dabbling a little bit of that? And the follow-up to that is, have you spoken to Micheline Murphy, who's apparently the ACI goddess that we spoke to recently?
I have. I've asked her a couple of one-off questions. I haven't had the chance to sit down and just do like a deep dive with her.
She will reach out and get some help, right?
She will blow your freaking mind, I'm gonna tell you right now. Yeah, it's intimidating.
Yeah. How are you liking ACI?
I have a love-hate relationship with ACI.
I think I understand. I think building contracts today at work.
Micheline said the same thing. And she's about as deep in it as you can get. Like, her damn near initials are ACI at this point.
All I know is you need an EPG.
Yeah, EPG.
That's all I know. Micheline said get an EPG, so I'm on it. It's good.
Where's it at, Andy?
I don't know, man.
Which tenant is it in?
Oh.
So how's this new gig? Do you like it? You think you'll be there a while? You're happy? It's good?
Challenge? Yeah, it's good. It's a lot all at once. I'll say that, which is good because I'm learning a lot. This is one of the few companies I've been at that aren't afraid to, you know, try new things. Mm-hmm. Mainly because they can afford it. Budgets matter, guys. And they do a good job of investing in training. And my number one thing I'd have to say is they have this philosophy of the best idea wins. So they don't care what your title is. If you have an idea and you can, you know, present it, hey, let's take a crack at it, do a proof of concept, see where we can go.
Okay.
So
that's a pretty cool culture then.
So I have two questions. I know we're getting close to the hour. So are you working on your CCMP now?
Yes.
Studying for Encore?
Yep. I take it December 1st.
Wow. Okay. How you feel about it? I'm supposed to be studying for it, and I'm stuck in Spanning Tree Hell, Chapter 4.
I started and stopped a few times. Yeah. So,
what does it look like? Like, do you read the OCG? You doing CBT? Same with CCNA? You did same kind of strategy.
So, and I tweeted about this a little while ago because what I noticed was the video courses aren't in order of the chapters. So I'm like, am I doing something wrong by reading this book cover to cover?
Right.
And everyone's like, the more senior engineers on Twitter were like, yeah, I don't do that anymore. I just follow the exam blueprint. And you'll find that the videos are laid out like the exam blueprint. Mm. So this time I've been reading throughout the week and I'll read and highlight. And then at the end of the week, I'll take my notes based off my highlights and then watch the videos.
Okay. And when you say the videos, are you talking about CBT Nuggets videos or?
Yeah, I started out with I&E. I'm liking CBT Nuggets a little bit better though.
So why is that? And I ask this because I've been doing the same thing, but I actually like I&E a little better.
I like I&E better for in-depth stuff.
Yeah.
Concur.
So I watch more of their stuff for like routing. Mm-hmm. Things that I really need to get in the weeds with, whereas CBT Nuggets is more of a, you know, I read this, I have a good understanding of it, I just want to kind of solidify that. And sometimes I found that in either one, but particularly depending on who's doing the CBT Nuggets, especially Jeremy will throw out a little tidbit of, oh yeah, and by the way, here's something you'll learn in the field that's not on the book. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay.
He does do that. That's super helpful.
So you're going to knock Encore out in December. What's your specialty going to be?
Advanced routing services.
Advanced routing. Do you know when you're going to take, how long are you going to take to study for that one and schedule it? You know,
I'm looking to do it sometime in February.
Damn. Awesome.
So funny story. I took I was scheduled for training for it. So I was actually supposed to take it this summer, but I ended up being the only engineer on the data center side. Our other engineer left. So that was fun. I get to support everything by myself. So I kind of had to take a step back to fill in, do some research and fill in and be on call and juggle a bunch of projects. So
I love your aggressive timeline. That's someone. Amazing.
I'm trying to get the first attempt in before I turn 30.
But you got to get to that CCIE, right? So that's why we gotta knock this MP out. And how are you gonna study for IE? Is there like a whole? Is it like I&E everybody does and V whatever?
So I've been reading a couple of people's blogs on how they approached it. I do know the book everyone recommends that you start with is, I'm gonna butcher the title, but it's Bridging the Gap Between the MP and the IE. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start there and then go in with the same approach with the exam blueprint and just knock out the exam topics. Using the books, cert guides, and there are a couple other books people recommend you look at. TCPIP, Volume 1 and 2. There's a Russ White book. I think it's Optimal Routing Design. There's some BGP books, some OSPF books. I have an entire playlist.
Do you have any idea,
Safari?
Do you have any idea how long you're gonna study for the IE before you take the written? Or are you just going to see how
there
it goes
is no written
studying?
Anymore?
There's no written. Oh yeah, the encore now is like pre. So you just, you're just going to study for the lab and go lab, right? Is that the deal?
Yep.
The last question I have for you, Diarra, I want to flip your own question at you. What would you have done differently in your career thus far? The question that you were asking those people at your internship. Is there anything you would have done differently? Lessons learned? Which ties into what would you tell somebody new like yourself, you know, that person trying to get started going in?
I would have continued getting my certs. I would not have just stopped at the CCNA. And I would have specialized a little bit sooner. Right. Because even though I have this 10-year experience, I've only been specializing in data center for about 4-ish.
You have to specialize. Like, route switch is just kind of expected now, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, people ask you what you do. You're like, oh, I'm a network engineer. Okay, well, what are you, what's your thing? Like, oh, route switch. They kind of look at you funny. I've had that in interviews. Like, well, you know, route switch is a given. What's your thing? You know, like, oh, all right. I guess I'll do cloud or automation. I don't know. Don't yell at me.
And another thing, don't fight learning the new thing. Mm-hmm. Which I was just recently reminded of because I started going down the cloud path at the beginning of quarantine. And I'm like, I don't really need to know this in depth. I just need to know my way around it. And then boom, I got assigned a cloud project. So I'm learning cloud now.
Which one are you learning? AWS, Azure, Google? Like
AWS.
AWS, yeah.
And there'll probably be some Azure a little bit later.
Yeah, the big boy. Thanks for hanging out with us, Diarra. We really, really, really appreciate it.
I've been here. It was a great chat.
So where are all the places we can find you? It's CCIE by 30, right? That's one of them.
Yep. So CCIE by 30 on Twitter, Instagram, and then CCIEby30.com. I also have a YouTube channel. Not much content up there. I plan to use that to document my labbing journey for my CCIE. And then Diarra J. Footman for all of my foodie adventures and fun on Instagram. And DiarraJFootman.com if you just want to read my backstory.
Yeah, you could see all of our IP addresses hitting it.
Yeah, I turned that off.
Okay,
that was fun when I first got started, but then after a while it was noise.
That's too funny.
I feel a little bit better because I looked it up, and Cisco Networking Academy didn't start until 1997, so it didn't exist when I was in high school.
I love that.
So that's my excuse on why I didn't start Cisco Network Academy in high school. It didn't exist. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. And it did cost a nickel a loaf.
We had just discovered fire, so
yeah.
The wheel was an amazing invention.
Baby steps. Making network diagrams on stone tablets.
But real quickly too, I want to talk about all the people that have actually gotten some serious W's in the win column in the past like month or so. Some people in our Discord channel. Dear, are you in our Discord channel? Or no?
I just joined.
Okay, cool. So there's some people, we have a hashtag winning channel. And in that winning channel, like people are just putting in, hey, I passed X and Y, Z or whatever. You know, AJ obviously has been doing a lot of Juniper stuff lately. The guy's a freaking machine at this point. He's like knocked out like 10 of these in a month. Mila just got her JNCIA, I believe, in the past couple weeks. And Pongyu Tracer got his CCNA, so you know, a little golf clap for him. Kudos. Good job to him. And more W's coming. Hopefully, Diarra, we could share your CCNP W in on December 1st. But we'll check back in with you maybe sometime and do a follow up and see where you're at with the CCIE by 30 journey. Fill in everybody.
Definitely.
Sweet. So thanks for coming again. I know, kind of speak for all of us and AJ who couldn't be here, unfortunately. But from all of us, you know, we really appreciate your time. We know how valuable it is because you could be studying. For Andy, this is just an excuse not to study. But for you, it's probably a pain in the butt. So thanks for coming. We appreciate you. If for everybody else out there, Art of Network Engineering, we'll put all of Deer's stuff in the footnotes so you can get to her website, find her ads, all of her stuff. And quite honestly, if you're not following her on Twitter or Instagram, you're probably living under a rock already anyway, so you probably won't hear this. But until we get to chat again, any final words of wisdom for all of our listeners out there?
Every expert was once a beginner.
On that note, thank you for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. See ya.
Hey everyone, this is AJ. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Art of Net Eng. That's Art of NETENG. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.